Sparky Viper, 55 past the hour. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout from the Wendy's Studios. Have you tried the Wendy's new Grilled Chicken Ranch Wrap? Grilled Chicken Ranch Wrap starts with a warm tortilla filled with diced grilled chicken, shredded cheddar cheese, fresh romaine lettuce, and a creamy ranch sauce. Try it today at participating Wendy's. Time for our weekly segment with Bally Sports Brewers analyst Tim Dillard, of course, former Milwaukee Brewers pitcher, joins us in studio. And, of course, he's brought to you by the lovely and iconic Fourth Base Restaurant. And you, of course, know that from the movie Major League. The food is unbelievable over there at Fourth Base Restaurant. You'll have to try it out. Tim, you just got done recording Brewers Unfiltered podcast with Sophia Minard and Adam McKelvey. You can go download that right now on the Odyssey app or at brewers.com. What's on this week's edition, Tim?
The Unfiltered podcast has an interview with none other than Corbin Burnes, and Ooh. It is a deep dive into not only how to handle yourself as a baseball player, but it's good for any age. Any age needs to pick up some of this stuff. It's something I learned later in my career, so for this guy to get it at such a young age and be this successful, there's a reason. So it's really fun.
Do you guys get into the whole arbitration thing and handling that from the mental perspective? Because, look, I mean, I lost my mind on Twitter about this whole thing. And what irritates me is I get the Brewer fan that says, oh, Sparky, you don't understand. Like, arbitration is trying to keep contracts down for the smaller markets and so forth. And okay, that's fine, but when he's a Cy Young winner, we're not going to argue over $750,000. I don't think the players' union or the owners are going to be mad that you gave the guy the $750,000 that he was looking for. If you want to argue about, you know, middle of the roster guys or end of the roster guys over piddly stuff, that's fine. But not with the Cy Young Award winner. You just went through the same damn thing with Josh Hader and got him not happy with you. And now here we sit with Corbin Burnes with a couple years left on his deal. And as you could tell, Tim, I'm sorry, I still get frustrated with the whole thing.
Yeah, it sounds like you've totally forgotten
about
it.
Not at all. I get so mad about it.
Yeah, no, he actually doesn't get that deep into that kind of stuff. But like I've said before, if this is the process that baseball has. This is the Stupid. Way it's put in place until there's a better option, and this is what's there. I mean, teams have to operate within the rules that are given. I mean, look at the pitch clock stuff. Nobody's on board with it other than like broadcasters and stuff. A lot of the players aren't fans of it, but they have to figure out how to operate within those rules.
So let me ask you this. What would you change if we said, okay, Tim Dillard, you're in charge? What would you change with player contracts as far as how long you're under contract from the time you're drafted in the minors? Would you eliminate the 3 years of arbitration and let him get to free agency sooner? Would you have a set scale for those 3 years where it's just black and white? Look, if you achieve these incentives and these are your numbers as a pitcher or as a hitter, this is what your salary is going to be, and that scale changes year to year with inflation or whatever the case may be. Any ideas of how you'd go about it?
I mean, honestly, I like the incentive stuff. You know, right now, if a pitcher gets paid a whole bunch of money and then he gets hurt day one, you know, that's the team eats all that money.
Right.
And if he has a small contract and goes out there and does awesome, then it's like, well, he should have been paid more. And we hear Absolutely. Both sides of this all the time. To me, it's almost like, I don't want to say a base salary, but you come up with a salary, and then it's like, if you're a reliever and you have so many appearances, you have, you know, whatever your ERA, I don't think that matters, but like appearances, if you're out there, I think Ricky Weeks had this in his contract, maybe one of the last ones he signed with the Brewers. If he was on the field and had whatever it was, like 500 at-bats or something. Right. Like that, there was an incentive in there. So that gives players incentive to just stay on the field.
And play.
Yeah, keep them out there and play. And the guys that throw 100 miles an hour for, you know, a couple months and then get hurt and they miss a couple months and they come back and throw 100 miles an hour, maybe they'll rethink some of their training stuff. I don't know. I've always liked the incentive base. I feel like there was times where I was really good and got underpaid and there was maybe part of a month when I got overpaid sure. in my career, but I don't know.
But
I don't
it makes
know
up for the
it.
Other part where yeah. you weren't getting paid enough, right? So
exactly.
In the general scheme of things, maybe it balances itself out a little bit. I want to talk about game one, Brewers D-backs. Look, I did Bucks postgame shows for years. I did Brewer postgame shows for years, Packer postgame show for years. I try not to go at referees and say they're the reason why you lost the game one way or the other, but I have never seen such a mess as was last night with that home plate umpire and those curveballs inside. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable. And then they have this thing on Twitter. It's like an umpire check card or whatever it is. I think he was like 80% on strikes or 81% on strikes. That is not a very good amount for a professional umpire. Maybe he was getting fooled or whatever the case may be, but that was not a fun watch.
Well, I think when you're addressing the game and you don't bring it up, you're not bringing up a very big piece of the game. Yeah. And you're right. It's official umpire scorecard. I looked it up. They posted something not long ago, and it has the most retweets of any umpire scorecard yet this season. And the reason is because, for whatever reason, he just started dropping the ball a lot on Zach Gallen's curveball. And it came to fruition in the second inning against Brian Anderson when there's a man on, nobody out, and it costs the Brewers, because that could have been a walk, and that costs the Brewers first and second, nobody out. And it had two effects. Not only did it strike him out and stop that rally a little bit of what could have been, but it also sent a ripple effect. Listen, I'm a pitcher, and when an umpire's giving you something, if he has something in his eyesight that he's not seeing, if he's giving you something,
attack it.
You completely abandon whatever plan that you had coming out, and you follow. Sometimes pitching's like choose your own adventure, right? Like you go out there, and it's turn to page 7 if you want to throw a changeup. And sometimes the umpire dictates. It's very rare, but you can walk out there. And if he's giving you something at the bottom of the zone, then you just go for it. If he can't pick up your curveball and calls it a strike, even when it's out of the zone, you go for it. If your plan is, I'm going to throw sliders away, and the umpire says no, you got to pick another adventure. If the umpire puts himself in the game plan, you got to go with it. It's pretty rare, but he was bad. 88%, I think, is the efficiency for umpires, according to that Twitter site that people should look at that.
Dude, it's great. They do it for every game, for every umpire.
But he had trouble, too. The pitch clock came into account. And we heard in the postgame show, Craig Counsell and Wade Miley talking about whatever the...
Longoria,
but also I think maybe Rojas. But they were doing stuff where they get in the box, they would acknowledge the pitcher, and then they look away. And the umpire wouldn't pick up on it. So you're starting to see batters... You've seen it with pitchers trying to manipulate this whole pitch clock thing.
Yeah.
And the reason the umpire misses some of this stuff is because he's got too much responsibility. Too much. Would you rather him be focused on the pitch clock or maybe not call a curveball that's 6 inches in and 2 inches high, about to hit you in the armpit? So anyway, just too much responsibility on umpires right now, I think.
Brian Anderson handled it much better. I mean, he got in his face a little bit, and then he essentially walked away. And you knew that was going to happen. And Gallen just threw curveball after curveball
turning
after curveball
point
after curveball. The
turning
whole rest
point
of the game.
Well, you look up to that point, he was, his pitches were going to be changeup and fastball.
Yep.
And cutter. You were seeing what his patterns were with the first, 4 or 5 hitters. And then all of a sudden after that, it was curveballs galore. Joey Weimer saw 8 pitches at one point. 7 of them were curveballs. That guy's, Zach Gallen has not done that his entire life. You're going to tell me he just on a whim decides, I'm going to throw this. His elbow is probably feeling like my forearms right now after rock climbing. Like, he's probably not feeling that great, but he's proud of what he did because to recognize that takes a lot of awareness. Like, yes, we're sitting at home, but if he just pitches his original plan, we probably wouldn't have noticed anything. It would have been looked at as a bad call, like just one bad call and a curveball, but he just leaned into it and just kept throwing it, and that was the game changer in the game. I don't think anyone knew the ripple effect that was going to happen, but not only did it kill a rally, it just gave a cheat sheet for the pitcher.
No doubt, and the Brewers were in a lot of trouble after that. Obviously, going forward, this Brewers bullpen has been unbelievable. And I said coming into the year, that was my question mark, because there were just a lot of unknown dudes, not a lot of guys that you knew a whole bunch about, just really what is this going to be? And they have by far and away the best ERA in Major League Baseball in the bullpen, like 0.86 or something crazy like that after the first game in Arizona. So I guess to you, is this sustainable? Do you think this bullpen is as good as what we're seeing right now?
I think they're good. Is it sustainable for an entire year? Who knows? Is the bullpen going to stay the same for the entire year? Who knows?
Rarely, you do have change.
Yeah, rarely that happens. But what you find is that there is a lot of guys that have so many good pitches that are in the zone. And they're not just looking for strikeouts. I mean, if you look at the Brewers pitching staff as a whole, their strikeouts are way down. And that, you could, that's cause for concern. But no, they're giving up very weak contact in the air, in the infield, and ground balls. And that right there plays. If I'm a coach, I bring in a guy and he throws 7 pitches and gets 3 outs, I don't care how he does it.
Right.
I don't care if he has an arm growing out of his back, like Shooter McGavin. It doesn't matter. Just get the outs. And so that's what you're seeing. Very efficient. These pitchers are going out there. And Hobie Milner and Peter Strzelecki have been nothing short of amazing. And we know Devin Williams. He's the big name. Matt Bush had an exceptional year last year. I know Brewers fans may be like, well, he dropped the ball a few times. But he has looked great. He looked great at the end of spring training. It's shaping up to be really nice. And you know what? They pitch the same, whether it's they're losing by 10 runs or they're up by 10 runs or it's a tie game in the eighth. They pitch the exact same. And as a coach, a manager, a broadcaster, a fan, you want that. You want those guys coming out there going, they don't care the situation. They want to just limit nothing. You get nothing, sir, and you like it.
Right, exactly right. Let's talk about a couple of guys in the lineup. Christian Yelich. Does he look any different than he looked to you last year? Are you picking up on anything different from Yelich? Or does it look pretty much like the same guy he was at the end of last year?
Well, I think his walks are going to be there. He's scoring a lot. He's getting some hits. Opposite field looks good right now. I think there were some times last year, it wasn't until he was maybe thrown in the leadoff role that he would actually use opposite field. But he is so good that way. I think he's starting to lay off some of those sliders down and in that, for the most part, every lefty on the Brewers is getting a plethora of those suckers. That's the scouting report right now. Just if you're just a casual viewer, every righty is going to throw down and in sliders. But once he starts laying off of those, I think he's put together some good at-bats. I think he really has. I think he's gotten cheated on a couple of calls, but I think he looks good, and I like him at the leadoff spot.
Yeah, I think that's where he's going to stay for the time being, one way or the other. The other guy, Willy Adames, who's starting to come out of it a little bit, had an error last night, his second error of the year, but the bat part of it is what you're waiting for to kind of get to the next level, and I think he's starting to come out of his funk a little.
Yeah, it was funny. We were doing the pregame show, and I was like, oh yeah, Willy Adames, man, this guy's working the counts, he's getting the big hits, and what's he do? He goes out there and he swings at first pitch, the one at bat, yes. Second pitch, third pitch. I was like, man, he's seen six pitches and three at bats. But he's good though. I really like that he didn't try to come out of the gate going, I got to carry this team. Right. You know, because I felt like at times he would go through that phase where I got to carry this team. He came out and said, I'm going to be on base. I'll just hit a ball over here where no one's standing. And that's why I think he has scored nine times. And he's, you know, in one of the tops in the league. Because you can play a different role. Will there be a time when he has the multi-home run game and have the doubles? Absolutely. He's already had a couple. But for right now, I think he's just laying a foundation because he knows it's a long season.
We got to talk about a couple of guys. And again, we're a ways away. Baseball works itself out all the time. But Urias and Tyrone Taylor eventually are going to come back here. And when they do, they're going to have to figure out spots. Now, my knowledge of Brewers baseball growing up is that means the rookies are going to get sent down, the veterans are going to get their jobs back, and that's how this is going to go. My guess is Joey Weimer gets sent down, back down when Tyrone Taylor comes up here, and Terang may or may not get sent down, or maybe they move on from Luke Voit, and that's how we open up the spot for Urias at that point. Would you be surprised if it plays out a different way than kind of how I'm laying the groundwork? Because to me, that makes the most sense. As no matter what Joey Weimer is doing at that point or Bryce Terang, I'm thinking those two vets get their jobs back and we go with them.
Have no idea. Just kind of glad I'm not a general manager, a manager, or I'm not sure Matt Arnold's complete title, vice president of whatever. But those are tough decisions, you know, and to sit there and think that these guys are just going to, you know, they rehab, they get healthy, they're going to have to get at bats.
Right.
They're going to have to go. So you're talking about a kind of a longer process. And I don't think they have any decisions made, and they won't have any decisions made till the time comes when the guy that's injured is coming back, and then what is the need? And baseball is funny too, because there's always a time when a guy comes back, it just so happens right when
somebody
another guy
gets hurt,
has to go on the IL. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm just saying there's a lot of happenstance that goes on in baseball. So these are decisions that, you know, let future Matt Arnold worry about that. He's not worried about it right now.
No, absolutely not. He is Tim Diller, joins us each and every week here on 1250 AM The Fan, brought to you by Fourth Base Restaurant. On game day or any day, create your own great memories at the iconic Fourth Base Restaurant. In fact, I believe AJ Dillon, Packers running back, was just in there the other day having some food as well. So, and I know Tim Diller can always be seen over at Fourth Base Restaurant as well. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to go check it out at Fourth Base. Maybe my jersey's hanging on the wall. Maybe something cool we don't even know about.
Ooh, nice.